This is the SML Podcast.
All right, so yeah. The way this is going to work is me and Chris will... Oh, by the way, I am Joe Cam. You guys should know me. And co-host is Chris Huber. You guys probably don't really know him much.
No, but, I'll...
I know of him.
Of me? No.
I've heard the name.
No.
But anyway, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And this is the SML Podcast. Today, we have a very, very special episode about, what, a half hour ago? Maybe a little more than that?
Something like that.
Pre-sales for MAGFest 8.5 opened up. It is a thing. It is happening. And we figured instead of us trying to explain it all, we would get some people from MAGFest on the show. So today, we have Dom Cerchetti and Paul Good on the show. Welcome, guys.
Yo.
What's up?
Would you like to introduce yourselves? You can, I guess, Paul, you could start.
Sure. I'm Paul. I'm one of the guys that runs MAGFest.
Yes.
There's the ding.
Do you want to explain the ding, by the way?
Yep. The ding happens every time somebody registers for MAGFest 8.5. Dom wrote up a nice little web interface that dings at us every time we get another registration, and it's been strong for an hour now, and it's pretty awesome.
So you will hear that a lot during the show.
There we go.
And there's a very good chance that if you are listening to this podcast and you have not pre-registered for MAGFest 8.5,
might already be sold out.
Yeah. Anyway, well, back to the introduction.
Yeah, that's me. I'm one of the... Oh, and I have random MAGFest people with me. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
That's Mike Pelequin, who's a dude that works in our warehouse and things. We just keep him in there, chained to the warehouse, usually.
He's your warehouse goblin?
Yeah, something like that.
Nice.
Something like that.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of an intro you want, but I've been...
Whatever fine. You want to say, we know. Yeah.
You could be like, I like pizza, you know.
My name's Paul, and I like do shit.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been kind of running MAGFest since around, like, MAGFest 6, which was the first one we did at the Mark Center.
And, which I love. I love the Mark Center.
We were at the Mark Center for 6, 7, 8, and 9, and now we're going back.
And the dehumidifier came. It's in the basement now.
Thank you.
So how about our other honored guest? Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Dominic. I'm the current sucker in charge of stuff.
That's the best job title I ever heard.
Yeah. whatever. Yeah, basically, if it's on fire or it's not happening, it's my job to make it not be on fire or make it happen. So, yeah, whatever. I don't know. I do a lot of, like, server coding and PR and HR and taxes and legal and accounting and all the other boring crap that makes MAGFest go around.
So talk to us about taxes.
Yeah, talk to us about taxes. We're now a tax podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, TaxFest. I'm sure all your listeners want to hear about MAGFest's tax fund.
That would be the funnier thing. Be like, hey, we just got these people that are like, you know, very, you know, closely involved with MAGFest, and I know you guys want to hear all about it. Let's talk about their taxes.
And then, like, our listenership explodes for the episode. So anyway, what the fuck is MAGFest 8.5? Tell us about that.
It's cool. We're asking ourselves the same question, honestly.
It's a brain fart that achieved sentience.
Right. It's sort of weird that it actually happened. I don't know, whatever. We were like, you know, it kind of sucks. This is the Mark Center was pretty cool, and we outgrew it, and that sucks. But, you know, whatever. And we had a meeting in January where we were kind of sitting around going, you know, it'd be really funny if we just, like, I don't know, went back to the Mark Center or something. And we're like, ha-ha, yeah, if we just called it, like, 8.5, ha-ha, that would be dumb. Nobody would do that. And there's another registration for MAGFest 8.5. So that's it, really. That's about as far as we thought it through. And we signed a contract with the hotel, and we are going there on September 12th to the 14th. And
you're going to do stuff. The creation of it.
All right, good. Tell me.
It was Hachi who has the
that is true.
The MAGFest 8 tattoo on his forearm, who really sort of pushed the idea.
So now he kind of has to, like, shoehorn in a 0.5.
Well, the irony there is he already had a scheduled vacation in Hawaii, so he's not going to make it.
Oh, no.
That sucks.
You guys did that on purpose, right?
Nope. He had no idea until we set the date, and he was like, oh, shit, you set the wrong date.
You sons of bitches.
It went from, like, ridiculous idea where we were sitting around talking about, like, the silly shit we could do because we're MAGFest to signed contract in, like, 2 weeks.
No.
Seriously, like, we had the idea and, we bullshit about it for, like, an hour and we were finally like, yeah, this is actually a good idea. Let's see about this. And then we immediately set up an appointment with the Mark Center, and we went down there and had a meeting with them, and they basically tried to suck our dick as hard as they could. It was interesting.
Well, they loved MAGFest, didn't they? They loved having us there.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, hotel turnover is ridiculous. Nobody works at a hotel for more than, like, a year or two.
Yeah.
So none of the people working at the Mark Center now
know about it.
There for MAGFest. But they hear the legends. There's seriously like two or three people left working there that actually worked with us on MAGFest. And then there's a whole bunch of people that we're working with now that are just wide-eyed. And they've heard the tales. And they're like, oh, we're very excited to be working with you again. And we're like, you have no idea what you're doing.
Suckers.
I'm really excited. I think I'm actually more excited because, like, you know, my first MAGFest experience was previous this year for the big ass one that was held at the other convention center. So, I mean, like, I got the taste of what MAGFest has become. So now when Joe is essentially saying, like, yeah, they're going to do an 8.5, it's going to be scaled down a little bit, it's going to be in the old place, I'm like, ooh, I'm very interested to see what this is going to be like. So I'm stoked. I'm really excited. I already got my registration, so I will see you guys there.
For the real experience, we should really go back to that place in Williamsburg and cap it to like 300, 400 people.
Oh, fuck yes.
And blow all their fuses.
Oh, my God. You guys could share some crazy MAGFest stories, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was the good old days. That was when MAGFest was such a mess that I was like, fuck, I have to help these people out or they're going to collapse completely under the weight of their own shenanigans.
Yeah, last December we actually had, what, 2 MAGFest dedicated shows?
Yep.
Having people on talking about MAGFest.
Just MAGFest stories.
And then after MAGFest, we had a 4-hour-long MAGFest spectacular of just having random MAGFest goers call in and talk about MAGFest.
Well, and people that played. And
yeah.
You know, I know, what was it? Was it Big J?
Huh?
The guy that does the music?
There were a lot of people who did.
There was a lot of...
Oh, Big Matt called in the one time. Yeah, we had him on a separate show.
One of the people in charge of the music department.
Yeah, so we love talking MAGFest on SML.
Yeah, we've done so many dedicated episodes, and now I'm glad that we get to do another one, because honestly, it's the ones that I enjoy the most. Because I just like talking about MAGFest as much as possible, because it's... it's one of those things, honestly, like all the way up until I went to this MAGFest that I that happened earlier this year, like people can explain it as many times as they want, but until you actually go to one and experience it yourself, like you just don't understand, like you just don't get it.
Yeah, like last spring and summer and fall, you're just like, oh man, PAX East. I can't wait for PAX East again. PAX East. PAX.
And I didn't even go. I sold my ticket.
And then you went to MAGFest, and now you're like, fucking MAGFest. Yeah, that's all my soul needs, more MAGFest.
Yeah. I feel like I was cheated because I didn't go to a MAGFest previous to this year. So I'm like, I've been yearning for something like MAGFest, and I just didn't know it existed.
Are you jealous of my lumberjack status?
I am very.
Hell, dude, yeah, I missed MAGFest 1, and as soon as I went to MAGFest 2, I was like, oh, damn, I really should have made that first one, too.
Don't feel bad, man. My first MAGFest was 5.
Wow, you poser.
Dude,
I don't even know. I'm not really.
What was this previous one? Was it 12 or 11 or what was
12. It? 12. We're gearing up 13 now.
I'll get a MAGFest 13 tattoo.
People said MAGFest 11 was going to be online only, and then MAGFest 12 was going to feel like really old school and really good, but a lot of people will miss the point of it. Now MAGFest 13 has to just be held in one giant long corridor.
And it's just an obstacle course.
Yeah,
like it's find us that corridor and we'll do
all,
it.
All the Final Fantasy references. MAGFest 14 will just never come out.
No, MAGFest 14 will be in Boston, and they'll have it in the middle of that Faneuil Hall, where food is on the...
MAGFest 14 will happen once, and then they'll shut it down for like 3 years and then do it again.
and they'll make
it here first on the...
Well, yeah, right. If Matt was on, he would just say it was canceled again. So,
yeah, I think I would say it was canceled.
Dude, that was the funny thing, yeah. Too. Like, 2 days ago, I saw him post on Facebook. He was like,
"You want to know what the announcement
for MAGFest is? It's fucking canceled. Shut up." Thanks, dude. So, tell me about how you guys got involved with MAGFest. Like, you know, how you essentially came into being so involved with the project.
Well, you start. I went to MAGFest 2, and it was awesome. Went to MAGFest 3, and it was awesome, but it was kind of a clusterfuck. So I was like, all right, these guys need help. And I started helping. And by around MAGFest 6, I was kind of running things. And by around MAGFest 9, I was officially running things. And then I handed it to Dom, and I can let Dom tell his story.
Okay, Dom, your turn.
Yeah, sure. I just want well, actually, it's kind of a funny story. So I have these things that happen in my life where if I hear about something twice through totally unrelated channels, I got to go to it, right? So I had recently started working at Firaxis Games back then. And basically, one of the other guys that was there in the same building and sort of in the same company, who's now my keyboard player in Rare Candy, that was Matt Barros, was saying something about, oh yeah, you got to check out this MAGFest thing. It's I've heard about it. It sounds kind of cool or whatever. I was like, yeah, all right, that's interesting. the unrelated bit was that I was working on making DDR pads work on Linux.
Oh.
And I had just submitted some code to the Linux kernel to make that work. And it had just been accepted and just been rolled out to the latest kernel. So I was emailing people that were working on DDR games on Linux. One of them was called PyDDR, which was written by Brendan Becker, who was the guy that sort of was running, you know, he was running MAGFest at the time. And he was like, oh, yeah, hey, thanks for the heads up. By the way, you should come to MAGFest. And then I was like, well, that's weird. I just heard about that yesterday from somebody else. I probably should go to it.
Yeah.
So I did. And that was MAGFest 5, and it was completely awesome. And I happened to bring my keyboard with me, and I just set it up in the hallway. I left it there and put a sign that was like, feel free to play on this. And I just kept walking back and forth the whole time, and people were playing on my keyboard. And it got me thinking. I was like, you know, it would be really cool if there was like a room where people could, I don't know, jam out and do stuff or whatever. So I emailed the guys running MAGFest, and I was like, hey, what do you think about a room? I have this idea called Jam Space. And then Paul was like, do it. Here's a room. You get nothing but the room. Make everything else happen. Yeah,
figure everything else out.
Yeah, basically. And
do it and leave
so
us alone.
I show up to an empty room. I bring in tons of equipment and crap that I had scrounged up and bought from, you know, yard sales and whatever the hell. And that was Jam Space at MAGFest 6. And then Paul was like, you know, you should run the music for a while. And so at MAGFest 7, I started doing music department. Did that at 8. By 9, I had trained up Big Matt and Karen as replacements. And by 10, I pretty much completely stepped out of the music and was just the sucker that was running everything else.
So I am the one that I owe you a big thank you for making that room. Because honestly, like, I spent a good, probably a solid day in shed space when I was at MAGFest 12. So, I mean,
and then Jam Space, you even put on your own little mini concert.
Jam Space, I put on my own little mini show with the songs that I put out for my first like remix CD. I just brought the stems with me and I played it over the over the speakers and played the drums live to it, and it was fun. I had a blast. It was good.
Yeah, there are sort of two sides of the same coin. There are different philosophies for what, you know, jamming with random strangers and stuff should kind of be. So I'm glad we can do both.
It's cool. I mean, I like the shed space thing that, you know, you can kind of go in there and almost have like a semi-clinic kind of thing. Like, here's what I'm doing. Here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Anybody else have any other like constructive criticism? All right, let's play together, and then da da da, and then jam space is literally just like, yeah, let's just go.
Let's
like,
just fuck around.
I see somebody just asked about the Colossus Roar.
God damn it!
Can we? Can it be outlawed? Can that be a thing?
Nope. Can't happen.
All in Nightcrawler.
That's a thing that I sort of have to clarify to people occasionally, because there's like three or four different parties that claim responsibility for starting the Colossus Roar thing. And
my knowledge is that X-Strike started it, but I've been told
like X-Strike says they started it, the Shiz says they started it, somebody else says they started it, and really what started it was the X-Men machine sitting in the corner of the Mark Center, because the Mark Center is too fucking small to get away from that sound. So if you're shopping in the marketplace, or you're playing anything in the arcade, or you're like waiting in line for registration or whatever, every once in a while, somebody would be using that thing on the machine that was set to free play, so they could use it fucking infinitely. So it was just this subliminal background sound in MAGFest in general. It was just this like overriding everything, because it's so fucking loud coming out of that machine.
That was actually a well done roar too.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of bad ones, and that one was a pretty solid roar.
It was accurate. That's because he's having like numb flashbacks while he's telling the story. He's like, I hear it like it was yesterday.
It's in my sleep.
There was this little Asian dude working at the Mark Center when we were clearing it out at like 8 or 9. I don't remember what it was. And we were almost done loading out, and we had a couple of arcade machines left, and we were beat, and people were just laying on the floor or whatever, and we hear this little coming from the hallway near us. And then we heard it again, and it was this like this weird ass high pitched. It was this little dude that was working for the Mark Center, and somebody stopped him and talked to him, and he's like, yeah, I hear it in my dreams. I've been here all weekend.
I hear it in my dreams.
I hear it when I'm awake. I hear it when I go to sleep.
That's hysterical.
So what are your thoughts on the roar? Is it still a good sign for MAGFest, or is it like way overused?
I totally see both sides. It gets annoying. And I can totally understand why people are tired of it and want it to go away. But for one thing, it's never going to go away, because every MAGFest, about half our attendees are new. It's the first time they've been to MAGFest. And when they hear it, they think it's the greatest thing ever.
See, now,
true.
Now,
true.
Hold on, though. This was my first one this year, and as soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, that's going to get old fast. I'm like,
and it did.
First day I heard someone do it within like 3 minutes of us walking into the hotel, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, but I kind of warned you about it ahead
of
time.
You did. I was expecting it.
You knew it was going to be shitty.
Well, and like, Mega Driver played last year, and it was their first time, like, it was the first time in the U.S. for some of them. And I took them on a tour of the expo hall and showed them, you know, the marketplace and the challenges and the arcade and everything. And they were like kids in a candy store, man. It's like these five big metal Brazilian dudes with like the biggest grins on their faces. And I showed them the X-Men machine, and I explained the X-Men roar to them, the Colossus roar, and like, they thought it was the greatest thing ever. They were just like, oh my God, that's awesome. We're totally going to do that at our show.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, wait. I have to warn you. Like, all the people that have been to MAGFest for the last 5 years or so are getting tired of it. And they looked at me with this crazy look, like, why would anybody get tired of that? It's awesome. And they're like, well, we don't care. They're going to have to put up with it for one more year because we're doing it at our show.
And by the end of the weekend, they're like, we are never coming back.
No, and like, I think it was Tim, our panels guy, who was arguing for it because it's an appropriate thing for MAGFest because it's just like, it's this completely nonsense meme that you don't know about unless you've been to a MAGFest, and it's just an energetic thing. Like, every group has their chants or their phrases or their whatever the hell, and MAGFest is just a nonsensical roar. And really, that kind of sums up MAGFest. I mean, when you look at it that way, it really is appropriate.
Yeah, pretty much.
I suppose. So, I understand where you're coming from. Like, I can see both sides of it, but like, dude, those rings.
So, since you mentioned a band, I'm going to go there and ask, any bands currently on the lineup for 8.5? Anything that you can kind of like breaking news us here?
I don't know if we're ready to announce. Do you have any idea?
I know a few, but I don't know if they're actually set in stone.
Yeah, we don't know if they're confirmed at this point. Like, 8.5 is a little slapped together with duct tape, kind of old style.
Not duct tape.
So a few things are a little bit behind, and band confirmations are one of those things that's behind. But I'll be as vague as I can and just say we're trying to make the shiz happy, for one thing.
You're talking about mini bosses or someone else?
I don't know. I will not deny anything beyond that.
No, I'm guessing since Norg told me he won't be there, I'm guessing Lonely Rolling Stars aren't looking good.
No, I don't think so. There's a bunch of people that can't make it, like MAGFest regulars that just will not be able to make it for this one. So there's going to be a couple of gaps here and there, but in general, with the bands and with like everything we're doing, we're trying to sort of take it back to where we were in the Mark Center. So there's going to be a bunch of returning bands that were playing MAGFest 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Nice. Well, you know me, my eternal request is the one ups. So,
I don't think, basically we can't afford a hell of a lot of travel for,
well, fuck you.
I will offer myself as tribute. If there's any bands that are missing a member that pretty much anybody can do it, but they need one more guy, send them my way and I will fill that slot.
Keep that in mind.
Does Rare Candy need someone?
Yeah, I was thinking about Sydney out. That's fine. You play keys.
Okay, well, that's keys are probably the one instrument that I could probably not keep up on. But if it's bass, drums, primarily drums. But if it's drums, bass, or guitar, then I could probably do it.
I gotcha.
Learn keys, yeah. Dickhead.
I don't have a keyboard to learn.
Tough shit. Suck it up and learn.
Or automaton. I could sit in on automaton. Yeah.
We do actually need to make like a roster of sort of sit in MAGFest musicians. So that's like a thing you can do at MAGFest. It's like, oh, everybody but one person can make it. Well, we got these five drummers.
I will absolutely 100% be a ringer, because from now until I die, like maybe 5 years from now, I will absolutely be at every single MAGFest.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, like you showed up today. I mean,
use a roster of backup musicians. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
You've asked me about 8.5 for weeks now.
For weeks
every
now.
Week, because I've kind of known it was coming, but not really.
So
any...
I'm like, did you hear anything about 8.5 yet? He's like, no, I will tell you when I hear something. And then every single week, I'm like, did you hear anything about 8.5?
And then you walk in the door today. I'm like, I hope you have a credit card with $50 open.
I'm like, I have $50 in my wallet.
Why? Like, and I'm like, 8.5 registration open. Fuck.
And I'm like, I am not missing this. I'm like, you take the last $50 on my wallet. Like, that is fine to me.
You know what? This stuff is great every once in a while to remind me that MAGFest isn't just a bunch of spreadsheets and like QuickBooks and all the other crap that we have to
taxes.
Do.
Taxes.
Yeah. All about the taxes.
Good. It's good to hear people very excited about MAGFest. I'm like, oh yeah, right. Yeah, that's what we're working on. Oh yeah. Cool.
Dude, I mean, honestly, like,
people actually like this thing. Yeah.
I literally, like, no word to lie, I took the last money out of my wallet and it's instantly registered because I'm not fucking missing this. Like, period. That's how my mind now revolves around the gigs that I have, like, locally that I play, like, every weekend and MAGFest. So it's just like, each gig that I do is just one closer to MAGFest. Like, that's how my brain operates now. Like, how many more shows do I have to do until it's MAGFest again? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nick, by the way, says, I'm stuck in working man world. Tell everyone I said hi.
Hello, working man.
So
tell him we will form a Rush tribute band in his honor.
So I have a question from a friend. He's the one who commented on my Facebook post, John Peters. He was asking me what the story is with vendors and how he can become one.
I wish I knew.
Just show up with a table and park it outside of your car in the parking lot.
Is there someone that he can get in touch with about?
Okay. The correct answer right now is to email marketplace@magfest.org. That will hit up our marketplace crew and me and Paul and a few other people. Nice. The answer for how we're doing vendor selection is a little up in the air for 8.5, but for anybody that's interested, just hit up marketplace. That's the way to go.
And there you go.
Marketplace.
We love connecting people with answers.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we had a better answer for you, but what's going on with 8.5 is we're using it as a training ground for new people. So we're telling our department heads to, like, take a break and get your underlings in on the action and train them up. And there are some departments that are just like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, like the early days of MAGFest.
Yeah.
So it really is going to be like true to the original form.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's, and, I'm excited then.
our marketplace director is sort of currently overwhelmed with life in general.
And, nice.
8.5 is a bit much for her to handle, so we don't really know what's going on there.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, is there going to be, like, so obviously this past one was my first. Are there going to be certain, like, portions of you know, attractions, I should say, that are going to be left out since it's smaller scale? Like, is there still going to be a jam space? Is there still going to be, like, all the arcade cabinets and shit like that? Like,
yes, there are definitely a few things that are getting left out. The film fest is not happening.
Okay.
Dom, do you know offhand what's up with the jam space versus shed space?
We're going to try to do jam space.
We're going to try to do jam space, but not shed space?
Maybe. I mean, I got to talk to Yusuf. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, I do have some contact with Yusuf. Him and I got introduced to each other, like, this past MAGFest, and him and I have, like, kind of, like, emailed back and forth in a Facebook group and shit like that. So I'll run it past and be like, hey, man, what's the dealio? Like, I wanna play some.
Ooh, look at Mr. Connections over here.
Hey, man.
Yeah, what you can definitely expect for sure. I mean, concerts, of course. The arcade, the game room.
The mainstays will all be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's stuff like the, you know, the indie game showcase and the film fest and stuff, the newer stuff. I think that I forget if the indie game guys are trying to do anything. They might just be skipping it entirely.
Are you guys still going to be doing, like, some of the panels and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, panels are happening.
Are there any panels that are already scheduled?
Anybody lined up?
Anybody?
We've got a little bit scheduled, yeah. I think we only have about 10 panels scheduled, and we've got room for something like 50.
Wow. Oh, wow.
But I'm kind of pulling that out of my ass. I'll piss off the panels, guys, if I don't disclaim that a little bit.
What's funny about this conversation here, right, is that me and Paul are, like, in the trenches with all the boring work of MAGFest, and the the fun part of MAGFest work is like picking out the bands or picking out the panels and stuff like that. So,
and you're not involved with any of that.
Right. You're talking to almost the two most totally unqualified people to talk about the specifics of that stuff.
That's okay. So, we're just trying to milk you guys for whatever we can.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I mean I can say all kinds of stuff, but I don't want to piss off my department heads.
Hey man.
Slightly different plans at this point.
True.
And I'm going to be like, "Oh yeah, we're running 100 panels. Go sign up for a panel." And then my panels department is going to be like, "Why did you say that?
Son of a bitch.
1,000 people emailing us now and we only have room for like 5 submitted panels."
Well, since it sounds like you have about 40 openings, can we have an SML live podcast recording?
Oh my god, that'd be hysterical.
You can have all of them. Like all 40 of them can just
sounds
be
good.
Live podcast recording.
Man, that'll save us a lot of work in 2015.
2015.
We might be able to. Are we gonna promise people internet? What do you think, Dom?
Well, I can tell you what we're going to try to do, which is
we can probably maybe, don't hold us to this, get you a streaming connection that you can actually do a podcast from MAGFest live.
Well, we wouldn't need a streaming.
Yeah,
one.
We don't do it live. We essentially record it and then we just post it afterwards. So.
Yeah, like this episode is not streaming right now. It'll be out tomorrow. Well, probably like late tonight in MP3
tonight
form.
Tomorrow
on YouTube. Tomorrow night on Save Continue, and then Bleeding Cool throws it up Monday nights.
Yeah. And then iTunes gets to it whenever they feel like it.
Usually later on Friday.
Yeah,
it shows up fairly quick. It's not bad.
Something like that.
Yeah, we release so many friggin' times.
Yeah, man. What episode is this? Like 70 something?
74?
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
We've been at this over a year. So
for a long
Should we tell the public about the internet, Tom?
I don't know. I mean, there's some shenanigans.
Do it.
It's gonna be dial up. And the only way to connect to the servers is to crank an old wheel like the old like rotary phones.
You have to sacrifice your firstborn to connect online.
You're joking, but at MAGFest 5, we had to fall back to dial-up for a day.
Oh, no.
Like, everything fell apart, and somebody was like, wait, I think I have an old 14.4 modem card. Let me build a computer with that card in it real quick. So I can get us on the internet in some way.
That's hysterical. Well, I mean, nowadays, now, all right, everybody that's listening that's going to go to 8.5, just make sure to go to your phone provider and see if you can get grandfathered into your unlimited data and just tether to everybody. Just let everybody use your phone.
We've sort of done that.
Yeah. I just started learning how to do that now that I have an iPad, and I was on the road the other day in between gigs. And I'm like, shit, man, like, I gotta download this, I gotta download that, I gotta work on this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like trying to do work in the car, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I could just connect it to my phone.
There you go.
That's kind of how we ran the internet for, 10 and 11? Was, we got a whole stack of clear modems, and one of our LAN guys wrote a weird load-sharing, aggregating thing that, like, bounced shit off of his server on the net to like 6 different modems separately and
oh my god,
dynamically handled the whole thing.
And they didn't catch
on
fire?
Oh my god.
No, it worked. It worked pretty well, actually.
Wow.
And it's like, it's still our fallback. Like, we've got other internet plans, but the clear modems are still on standby for us.
Isn't technology fantastic? It's wonderful.
Well, it's okay.
We do ever more ridiculous shit in the quest for internet that doesn't cost as much as the entire event.
Because priorities.
Well, it's one of those things about the venues that we deal with. There's a couple of things where they're just used to dealing with, like, giant corporate entities and government conferences and stuff like that. And the people that run those events, they're like, oh, well, we've got $500,000 for this event. We need internet. Oh, $30,000? Sure. Okay, whatever. Here, sign here. Internet.
Yeah.
And it's seriously like that. I mean, like, we are seriously talking on the order of like $30,000 to $50,000 to get internet for MAGFest.
Wow.
That's crazy.
From the Gaylord. And that's just the Gaylord. All the venues are like that. Like, their internet is just totally absurdly overpriced. I mean, two decimal places off the mark.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little much. To say the least.
Right. So we're always doing cockamamie bullshit to, like, come up with something.
You said cock.
I do that occasionally. A lot. We're just, like, trying to figure out how to get internet that doesn't cost us, like, more than any of our departments.
Yeah, right?
Damn.
We could get an internet connection, but it means we'd have to shut down the entire music department.
Which kind of defeats the purpose at that point.
Oh, you could just get on iTunes and use that instead of a concert.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Get an internet connection and just, you know, stream OCR for the duration of the event.
That works.
That could be a thing. It could.
And so we end up doing ridiculous shit. And I mean, I'll tell you about the old version because it's the old version. I won't tell you what we're doing now because I don't know how public this will end up being. But
nobody listens. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. We're never mind. There are behind the scenes shenanigans that may or may not be sensitive at this point. But 2 years ago, what we did to get internet at the Gaylord was we installed an antenna on a water tower like 15 miles away. It gets way better. It did not have line of sight to the Gaylord. So we went to the Mark Center, our old venue, and... like, Dom just called them out of nowhere, and like I said, there's nobody left there that has dealt with MAGFest, and he's just like, so, I'm from MAGFest, and we want to do this crazy thing. And they were cool with it, and we rented a room on the top floor of the Mark Center.
Oh my god.
Just a pair of antennas in there. And we put one dish pointed at the water tower that we installed our antenna in, and one dish pointed at the Gaylord, and then we put another antenna on the ballroom balcony of the Gaylord, just standing out there sort of in the smoking section, aimed at the Mark Center. And that's how we got our internet for like MAGFest. Was it 11?
11.
Yeah.
See, now that's resourceful.
That is fantastic.
And it's only gotten weirder since.
Do tell.
No, they just, instead of making actual antennas, they just make them out of like Pringles cans and shit.
MacGyver works for MAGFest. You
know, basically,
limp and get a signal straight from a satellite.
I thought we were launching a satellite on the next SpaceX.
They actually just hire like homeless people to run their messages back and forth to an internet cafe like 2 miles down the road.
Hey, that works.
It's probably a more reliable connection than some of the ones we've bought from venues for like $3,000.
Jesus. So for people who've been to MAGFest at the Hilton before, can we expect a similar layout in terms of where different rooms and panels and stuff are going to be?
Oh, as far as 8.5?
Yeah.
Dom, take this one, and you can tell them about your pipe dreams if you'd like.
Wait, say this one more time. I was making tea.
The layout for 8.5, for people who've been to a MAGFest at the Mark Center before, can we kind of expect a similar layout in terms of like where the arcade was, the games, where Jam Space was, the vending area?
I think it'll probably be very similar because essentially that was like 4 years of sort of evolved layouts and stuff. So what I do though, so I'm typically the layout guy, right? And we actually went around for about 8 hours at the Mark Center the other day, measuring out every, because that place is just weird angles and crap all over the place. And we measured every last little piece of it and came up with a very detailed SketchUp, basically a 3D CAD. And we're going to very carefully put all the stuff together and see what's up.
Dom built a 3D model. We literally spent 8 hours there with a couple of big ass measuring tapes, measuring every space that MAGFest is going to be in.
Nice.
So that he could make his 3D model accurate to an inch.
Wow. That's actually really cool.
Can you like forward that to me so I can make a Counter-Strike map out of it?
Hey, Paul.
About that. We have the blueprints for the Mark Center because at I think MAGFest 7 I asked them for them because I was going to make a Left 4 Dead map.
Wow. Yes. That would be awesome.
They gave the blueprints, and we did end up making the Left 4 Dead map. I don't know where it is anymore because at the last minute, I handed it off to somebody who's like an expert map maker guy, and he finished it off for me in a few hours at the last second, and he was awesome. But I've lost contact with him, and he had the version of the map that actually worked. So I don't know what happened to that. But yes, we have 3D models of it. I have blueprints of it. It's nuts. But like the blueprints are from like 1988 when the tower went up, and they have revisions from like 1995, and like none of it is the same as it used to be. There used to be a nightclub in the space where we have our concerts.
Huh.
Like there was a giant bar in the middle of that and everything. There was a kitchen back there.
Well, I know is I want to make a Counter-Strike map for it. Maybe it'll be like the next like Dust 2. It just makes like it becomes like the default Counter-Strike map.
I will. All right. Do me a favor and send me an email to remind me, because I can look through my shit and find the Left 4 Dead map.
Oh my god!
That I have partially built. So like I already have it built in the source engine.
Yeah, and then all I'd have to do is just bring it into the. Oh my god! Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And here's a link to the SketchUp file.
So oh, cool.
Let me know if that works. I think that's the latest one. It's mainly a map concentrating on the areas that are difficult to model. And then everything else is just like a box. You know, it's like a box room or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. I will definitely save that.
Warning, the source engine hates the Mark Center. The source engine really, really wants things to be in boxes. It likes right angles. And the Mark Center is all at like 60 degree angles because it's a triangle.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
So it's a freaking nightmare making that thing into a game map.
I do miss that place, though. I'm glad we found a way to have something MAGFest back there. I'm really pumped that that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, we're all psyched. But my beep isn't working.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say it hasn't rang in a while.
Yeah,
my phone's for that. I wrote it rather quickly.
It can't handle all of them at the same time.
Yeah, if it loses focus for a while, it quits beeping. So I have to keep refreshing the web page to get the beep back.
What are the numbers at right now, anyway?
Bring the beep back.
Badges sold so far, 202.
Nice.
Badges remaining, 1,798.
That definitely went down, because what, it was like 1880-something last time we looked?
Yeah, when I first saw it, it was 1985. So I'm going to guess I get like badge number 15 or 16 or something. Which will be
are we gonna encrypt the batch numbers this time, Dom?
Oh, I don't care for attendees. For staff, though, that's probably
we end up actually really having problems with people not getting the badge number that they want, and so we've been discussing the solution of just encrypting them so that like your badge number is just random. We might do them in hexadecimal.
Oh, nice.
So your badge number is like, you know, 8AFO or something.
That'd be interesting. I mean, well, you've got like the nice fancy like supporter badge, but I didn't have enough money to do one of those. Meh. Wah, wah.
Any idea what you guys are going to be doing for supporter badges?
For 8.5?
Yeah.
Much of the same stuff that we did for 8. The, nice. Like, I mean, you see the webpage? The webpage is literally the MAGFest 8 stuff with the 0.5 scrawled onto it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's an ongoing theme. That'll be happening.
Everything's just like, yeah, just do that, and then just, you know, tack the 0.5 on there, and then we're good.
Pretty
enough.
Much.
Hey, man, if it's not broke, why fix it?
Right. No, that's the thing. Is like we all missed the Mark Center and. and 8 was the awesome one. 9 we tried to jam too many people in.
Yay, there's the ding.
There's the ding.
We had about 2,000 people at 8, and we had about 3,000 people at 9. And for anybody who was actually there, you remember 9, while it was still an awesome MAGFest, was a fucking nightmare of jamming too many people into a venue.
Oh, like, yeah.
The elevators were useless. Parking was a nightmare. It was getting crowded.
Was that the year that...
Hotel rooms were a clusterfuck. Like,
was that the year that registration had that gigantic fucking line because they weren't prepared? And then a lot of people, their hotel rooms, like, they didn't get them until that night?
Yep, exactly. That was the one.
Yeah, that was a pretty brutal one. Although I got free breakfast out of it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
This is 8.5 and not 9.5.
I hope that there are... I'm going to have to start scouting out the area around it and see, like, if there's any options for me down there. I have to start planning. I tell you what, man, like, that was one thing that I was really, really happy about with 12, was that little, like, village, like, outside of, like, outside of where everything was going down. I had the best.
The National Harbor is awesome for the kind of event that we're having.
Oh, my God.
Like, if you want food, you walk 2 blocks and you have, like, every option.
Yeah, I had the best guacamole I had in my entire life there. I had the first Thai food that I ever had, and it was delicious.
Nice.
That was fantastic.
Do you guys know if the parking situation has improved at all at the Gaylord in the years we've been gone?
You mean the Mark Center?
Yeah, the Mark Center. I'm sorry.
He's drunk.
I am. I took oxys earlier.
Big, unfortunate, painful no.
Yeah.
There are giant freaking parking garages right across the street from it. And they're owned by the government, and you have to, like, have a security clearance to park in them.
Wow, that sucks.
That's dumb.
Right. It's so frustrating.
Well, like I guess we'll just have to infiltrate the government to get parking passes.
Yeah,
no, we're going on Thursday to get a spot.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Fuck y'all.
That's pretty secret.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, whatever. It's Alexandria. It's all, like, it's all the Pentagon and shit like that, so... Yeah. That's what's there, and the building right across the street from the hotel is a big ass government, like, military thing or something, so they don't let anybody park there.
No.
So the parking situation is exactly the same, which means
poop.
it's gonna be a pain in the ass, but it's not gonna be like an utter complete clusterfuck, like, you know, we're not going to have people literally parking on the lawn and getting towed away.
Good.
but, yeah, parking is still going to kind of suck. Actually, Dom, this is one thing that we should be in touch with. What's up with Overflow?
We're ready to pull the trigger if it looks like we're going to be selling out the hotel or whatever. I was going to wait till tonight, basically, and see where we're at. And then,
okay. So we don't actually have the Overflow Hotel contracted yet, but
no. But if the things continue the way it's looking,
I think we can go ahead and make that call right now.
Well, kind of, yeah. We'll talk tonight.
But we'll figure it out.
Probably there's basically what we're talking about. There's a hotel right down the street from the Mark Center, and we're talking to those guys right now about doing some Overflow stuff.
So Overflow floats around like 8.5.
That was terrible.
It was. That's what I'm here for. Terrible, terrible, terrible jokes.
Mission accomplished.
Yep. That's what I pride myself in.
You're popping the mic so much with your peas.
Dude,
that's
fucking...
Like, that's like the fifth time it's happened.
Plick it of my penis.
No.
You could plicative my penis.
I think we just got a registration without a ding.
Oh.
No.
Dingless.
Ding. There we go.
There you go. Perfect. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
It sounded completely accurate.
Can't tell the difference.
No, yeah.
So, is there anything else MAGFest that you guys want to talk about? Anything special? Anything the world should know?
Any good stories from past ones?
Unfortunately, what I remember, whenever anybody asks for the good stories, I remember the horror stories. I remember like the MAGFest 9 loadout where everybody had a fever and it took 5 days to finally load out our arcade. And me and there it is.
There we go. We're back in business.
Mom had to drive to like bumfuck Swamp, Maryland to drop off like 3 arcade cabinets in the rain and like drag these cabinets through some dude's lawn at like 11 o'clock at night. And it was,
man, I can pinpoint the exact moment I got like deathly ill that MAGFest, which was there was like a snowstorm going outside. We're loading up the trucks and I'm carrying stuff out to my car. And I slip on the ice out by the loading dock and I catch myself. Great. And I'm just like, oh, okay. All right. I was not destroyed. That's nice. There we go. And then I sat back down inside and then this like chill came over me and I was like, oh man. Okay. Like, holy crap. crap. I don't know. We should not depress them with our.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, that's the stuff that, like, people always ask that. People are always like, so, tell us the fun stories of the hijinks that happen. And I'm just like, oh, God, the first thing that comes to mind is all the screw-ups.
Okay, here, let me do this, by the way. We have 2 more things happening before 8.5, by the way.
Yes.
BitGen Gamer Fest next weekend in Baltimore, July 12th. And that's going to be freaking cool.
Holy Bitford shit, that snuck up on me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right? I know. It's nuts.
Oh, my God. I forgot it was so soon. I don't know if I can make it in a week. Shit. Yeah.
I have gigs.
And then right after that, directly the weekend after that, we're literally loading out of BitGen directly into another venue because the next weekend, we actually have a pretty decent-sized stage in the middle of Artscape in Baltimore.
Nice.
And Artscape is this big, free, open arts festival. Like, 300,000 people attend to it. And basically, our stage is going to be, it's part of Gamescape. There's going to be like indie game developers there. There's going to be MAGFest bands and all kinds of stuff happening. And we're part of one of the last like late night things that is actually open officially as part of the festival. So, yeah, that's going to be nuts. And then 8.5, and then other things. What are you talking about? It's weird.
MAGFest.
Other things.
You know, we're always looking to do other stuff. And what's kind of cool about 8.5 is it's sort of a, it's good practice for doing 2 events per year, which is no reason we would want to do something like that.
Oh, hey, like hypothetically on the West Coast. Maybe in San Jose.
Oh.
This is progressing to the point where it's
Paul, you're not very good at
enough ready to announce, but I'm starting to speak about it with confidence, like it's actually going to happen.
Ooh, that would be nice. It'd be an excuse to get out from the East Coast for a little bit.
I think the Lumberjacks are going to have to talk and decide whether or not West Coast attendance would be mandatory or not.
Yeah, I think.
Well, did you guys already talk about 8.5?
Yeah, 8.5 is not mandatory to keep your lumberjack status.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Hey, we have a Facebook group and everything.
The tribunal has spoken.
Yeah, we're considering just official numbered, whole numbered MAGFests. Yeah, because MAGstock doesn't affect it either. How was MAGstock, by the way? Did either of you guys make it?
I made it for a day, and I actually got a personal Super Guitar Brothers concert at 6 a.m. as the sun was rising and somebody was cooking random bacon and crap on their grill. It was great. It was one of the great moments in my life.
I was unable to make it due to the fact that I just had back surgery 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Plus, it's the middle of summer and I'm fat and I don't want to sweat that much.
I will say this. I'm so excited that this is in September. Because now I don't have to worry about freezing my dick off going outside. I'm very excited by that.
Any of the pictures of MAGstock, it's nothing but gigantic, fat, shirtless guys.
Well, see, I'm not worried about being seen.
Dude, that sounds like my kind of party.
I'm not worried about being seen without a shirt on. I just don't want to be in that kind of heat because I hate the summer.
They seem to manage.
It's funny. Last year was pretty rough for heat and storms and stuff. This year, it got a little hot, but other than that, it really wasn't that bad, actually, compared to last year or whatever. And there was no rain, and it was just totally...
That's great. A plus.
You know what I did Magstock weekend? I dropped the air conditioning temperature a couple degrees.
Now, look, this is what I do. All right, so I am not much of an outdoors person, so I don't bother to set up a tent. I just drive my SUV to the campsite, and then before I go to sleep, I just run the AC for like 10 minutes, stick a fan in the back of it, and just sleep in the back of my car.
There you go.
Nice and low humidity and whatever.
There just you go. You just get a one of those blow-up mattresses and be like, yeah, man, like, this is it.
Now, okay, and I mean, you should, I don't know if there's any pictures or video or whatever up there right now, but there was a campsite called The Hub at Magstock, and they essentially took like, I don't know, like 10 or 12 tarps, sort of stitched them together, made a gigantic tent that was like 20 feet up in the air,
supported by
giant tree trunks. They had lasers and like their own DJ and like all this other crap. And it was
that just, sounds like my kind of tent.
That is awesome. Yeah.
That tent makes me pitch a tent.
Mm. I mean, that just didn't end until like 6 in the morning. It was great. Like, basically, the scale of where you wanted your campsite was quiet to the hut. Like, those
yeah, basically. Magstock is awesome because it's this really bizarre combination of roughing it and tech nerds. People are actually sleeping in tents. People are actually just like walking around in flip-flops and shorts and whatever, and they're, you know, I mean, cooking stuff on a grill or whatever the hell, but like every single campsite has something to play video games on. Cruise around the place, and there's projectors on the inside of a tent pavilion thing that they've set up, and like, oh, I stopped in at one place and there's like 8 people sitting around playing something on the N64, and I just look and they've got like half a dozen boxes of video game hardware, and they're like, oh yeah, we got an NES, a SNES, a Genesis, we're playing on the N64 now, we got these 2 PCs we had linked up earlier.
Jesus like, Christ.
They've set up a tent in the mud and they're doing that.
No.
And
oh my God. Like,
that's this all Magstock. It's awesome.
My favorite one from Magstock, there was a campsite that had a giant inflatable projector screen with a projector on it, and then behind the projector, everybody was sitting in a kiddie pool. And that's like playing video games in the pool outside on an inflatable projector. It was
see, glorious. That sounds like camping to me.
Yeah.
Like that, right. I would do that.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I hate camping. I absolutely despise camping. But that I would do.
And I mean, we had Super Guitar Brothers playing you know, for an hour out, like late night on a stage by the lake. Everybody could kind of sit down on the grass and stuff. And
oh, it's awesome.
We were passing out cupcakes. Actually, that was Mike and Channy were doing that. And
Steve's birthday.
Yeah, there.
Mike and Channy happen to be sitting right behind me, by the way.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Say hi.
Hi. Earlier. I said random stupid crap earlier.
I don't know if it came through. That's annoying.
So,
Magstock's cool. Yeah, definitely come to Magstock next year because it's sort of like if you just had Magfest and it was a little more low key with the official events, and like everybody, instead of hanging out in their hotel room, was just hanging out everywhere.
They're just hanging out, period.
Right.
It's pretty
out.
Cool.
Hanging out.
It started out, it was sort of just supposed to be the a chill party, like, for the staff that just happened to have open registration, and now it's starting to kind of do its own thing.
And now it has become craziness.
It's become its own monster.
It's still very it's growing a little bit slowly.
The music is evolving.
Yeah, the music is getting a little more serious, which I'm not sure I'm happy with.
No, it's great, man.
I'm still going to have to start, like, I know... the past, like, Dwelling at Duels, you were like, they were doing like the Ryu theme or something like that.
Yeah,
I joked around that I was going to do a version, and then in the middle of it, when I had a guitar solo, I was literally going to go chromatically throughout the entire like fretboard of a guitar. Like,
you never did that,
note by note, and just not even just and then go back down. But I'll have to do it for I'll have to do it for something for the next CD or something.
Just knock yourself out.
Just to be like, all right, ready? Here comes this ripping solo.
So we had a new question come in from everybody's favorite helmeted drunk Rez.
Oh, God.
He's asking, why are some people already giving hate towards 8.5? Do you think it's because they experienced the Hilton City 17 tower?
It's because it's the internet, and that's what people do on the internet. Pictures of kittens, boobs, and complaining about things.
That's kinda the entire internet. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And then I also have a text question from my friend Ian, also known as Jesus. He's one of the two people who bought, like, the wizard package for MAGFest
3. Oh, right.
I asked him if he would be going to 8.5, and he said, I don't know. I'm not sure if wizard status will grant me free tickets.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well.
He's a season supporter, right?
He's wizard status.
Yeah, he was the wizard. He got the dildo.
There were two people that went for the full robe and wizard hat. And I made sure to introduce myself to both of them, so I remember him. And if you went that far, that included the season supporter thing.
Nice.
And
is there someone he has to contact for that?
Well, we should have gotten that email out along with our launch.
Funny story, you mentioned that. My number one to-do item is email season pass supporters as fast as possible.
There you go.
So that was like the one thing I didn't get to do before the launch. I mean, basically, by the way, this is a thing about MAGFest contact information, blah, blah, blah. Just on the website, it's got the contact form that goes directly to me, Paul, Nick, and like anybody else that can like make shit happen really fast. So it's not like you're going to be bogged down in some support channels or whatever. It goes directly to us and then we handle it.
Yeah. We don't have any levels of tech support. You don't have to deal with Indian outsourced guy before you get to somebody that knows what's up.
Thank you. Very good.
Did you try to register for MAGFest 8.5?
Did you reboot the MAGFest?
Did you unplug it and plug it back in?
I wasn't going to take it that far, but it's your show.
Yeah, we're assholes.
You can hear the face slap here.
No, I didn't hear it. Do it again. Wow, we could have fun with this.
Yeah, right? Do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around.
So, since this is a video game podcast and all, and we just did an hour on MAGFest, might as well get some video game chat in. So, have you guys, in the midst of all the 8.5 preparation, have you been playing anything lately?
I've been playing a pretty obscene amount of Smite, which is a MOBA, like Dota or League of Legends.
I've heard of it. I haven't actually, like, looked at it yet.
I don't know. I don't know that I support the playing of MOBAs. They're like MMO light, and MMOs are just fucking crack.
Yeah, right.
Terrible, horrible things. My response to MMOs is just say no.
Yeah, I almost pulled the trigger on WildStar, and then I'm like, nope, 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 nope.
Smite is kind of cool, and it's like it's basically just the combat from an MMO, which is kind of neat, and that's been my thing. And honestly, I've been playing it because the whole MOBA genre has kind of passed me by. And anytime I'm dealing with MAGFest stuff, when people want to do PC tournaments, it's just League of Legends, Dota. And like,
yeah, dude, I'm
one or two other things.
I am not. I have voiced my very strong opinion on this show about League of Legends and Dota and stuff like that. Just the communities are so poisonous that I just don't.
The communities are horrible, man. You get on there as a new player, and just immediately all you're met with is, "You suck. Uninstall the game, fag."
Yeah. Dude, the only
like,
way.
That's it.
Yeah, the only way that I could ever describe like the way that people treat new players to the game is it's the same kind of person that would put like a baby
again. You killed the sound
up,
with your peas.
I was up here, and I don't know.
Ease up on the peas, man.
It's a person that would put a baby in a car and be like, baby, drive the car. Just drive the car.
Who drive like, car? Just, baby, drive car. How like, can that be?
What's wrong with you?
Like, why can't you drive this car? Like, why? Like, what is? Yeah, it's like, I don't know how to do anything. Just drive the car. Like, that's what it seems like to me. The only MOBA that I actually have considered like giving a shot, I got into the beta and I still haven't even like played it yet, is the Dead Island MOBA thing, because it almost looks like a mix between like Diablo and a MOBA. It's weird. It's like it's interesting. So,
a little bit of news. Did you see there's going to be a new Dead Island coming out this fall?
Yeah.
Instead of like multiplayer run. Hey, look, I killed it with a P. Instead of the whole multiplayer murder everything kind of game, it's going to be more survival horror, apparently.
And I'm excited for that. I am very excited for that.
Can you believe it? We just talked video game news on our show for like the first time in weeks.
I know, right? It's very interesting.
I know.
Ah. How about you, Dominic? You playing anything?
God, video games. It'd be great to play some video games someday. I don't know, dude. Yeah, I got this like soul food video game thing going on, which is I play desktop tower defense every once in a while. Huh. And Kerbal Space Program.
Dude, I wanna try that game so bad.
Kerbal Space?
Yeah, I've seen it on the Steam sale like a couple different times, and I'm like, I really want to pick that up.
But it's funny, right? Because basically to do anything, it's just a sandbox game, right?
Yeah.
Right now. And to do anything in it, you just have to do real rocket science.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow.
You have to,
build a fucking rocket ship and then try and get it to go to the moon.
That's crazy.
Right, and then exactly. Like you go to launch it and it fucking explodes as soon
we
as you go to launch it.
We should tell Kayla about that. Well, and it's, from last week.
It's true.
You know, you need a certain velocity to get into orbit and then a certain amount to get to the moon and whatever. And you think, oh, I'll just add some more fuel tanks. But the problem is you now need more power to transport more fuel.
Yeah.
And like it's really funny because in Kerbal Space Program, the way you end up knowing how to play the game is you just start going to Wikipedia and looking at rocket science. Like stellar navigation and stuff. And it's just, I don't know. It's one of those games that, you know, you've seen a million educational games and they all suck. And
I loved Math Munchers. Thank you very much. Also, Zumbinis was my shit.
Number Munchers was the shit.
No, I mean, whatever. There's obviously a handful of
Carmen
games.
San Diego.
But here's what's up, right? A lot of the crappy games just try to shove some lesson down your throat, right?
That's true.
And Kerbal Space Program and like a lot of other games that are good, that are unintentionally educational games, basically the game mechanic requires you to understand what's going on behind the scenes and to actually do stuff. So like in Kerbal Space Program, if you want to fly a rocket, you better know some rocket science. And that's all there is to it. And like that aligns with your goal and it's still fun and you know, without trying to be, Kerbal Space Program is one of the like best educational games I've ever seen. It's awesome.
That
if I had that game as a kid, I
would
have been a rocket scientist, like for sure. So,
we should gift a copy of that game to her. our guest from last week was the winner of TBS's King of the Nerds season two.
Oh yeah,
really?
That's cool.
And she knows a little bit of rocket science.
Well, she is a rocket scientist.
She is an actual rocket scientist. So,
well, I knew somebody that was on season one who was an actual rocket scientist.
Nice.
Her name goes away now. It was my brother's ex-girlfriend.
Wow.
How? And she ended up on the show, and she works for like JPL in like the Planetary Protection Department or something like that,
which makes
it sound like she's got a Power Ranger suit and she, you know, helped form the Megazord.
I was just going to say, yeah.
But
she was actually the one that designed the Megazord?
Yeah. No, I mean, what she actually does, like what her department does, is literally they deal with the sci-fi horror concept of like bringing a virus back from Mars or something and
fucking
up the Earth.
That's pretty neat.
And vice versa.
It's,
like,
that's
it's like
pretty terrifying,
we send
actually.
Something out to Mars, are we sending something that's going to like
just
contaminate the planet and totally.
So they're studying doom, pretty much.
Yeah,
basically. So that's what she does for a living. And she was on the first season.
Nice. Small world.
That's her name. She's got a weird ass.
Oh, Mujiga.
Yeah.
All right. I remember her.
That's a name.
It is.
She's awesome. Like she was hanging around here for, I don't know, a couple of months or whatever. I knew her, and she's really cool.
So, Joe, what are you playing?
I have been dabbling in a lot of smaller games. I'm still kind of like trying to get back in the whole gaming groove after the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But Shovel Knight is the fucking shit. And if you don't own Shovel Knight, you need to fire up your 3DS or Wii U or PC and buy it immediately. Hey! And buy it immediately. It is amazing.
I want to pick that up on my 3DS so I have an excuse to play my 3DS again.
And then Guacamelee Super Turbo Championship Edition just came out on Xbox One, 360, PS4, probably something else, I don't know. But it just came out this week, and it was free on Xbox One for Gold members. So I've been playing the hell out of that, too.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
How about you? Diablo?
Yes, I've been playing Diablo.
No, surprise.
I'm getting ready for Seasons. I have to. I have been playing some Counter-Strike. Been playing some Payday again. So that was fun because I've been, you know, there's been a shit ton of updates to that game and I just haven't really been playing it, but it's because I don't really have too many people to play it with. I was playing some other stuff too. Oh, I started going through the Wii catalog that I have again. I started playing Bomberman Land.
Nice.
It's terrible. I sat through about like 20 minutes worth of cutscene, like non-skippable dialogue. And then like I get into the actual game and it's just fucking mini games with the Bomberman guy. And I'm just like, oh my god, fuck you. Like I'm not playing this game. But I did borrow Super Mario 3D World Land
World
Place game from you. And
playing like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm playing that on my Wii U. I'm up to like the third or fourth like world, I guess, whatever you want to call it. I'm absolutely loving this fucking game. There was one level that actually like threw me off, but it was like really, really fun. They designed the whole level after one of the Mario Kart tracks from Super Nintendo.
Nice.
So like all of the music in the background was the same music from the Super Nintendo one, like, and you just have to run through it like as fast as you can.
Nice.
It was really, really fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been playing Mario Kart as well, obviously.
Yeah,
because everyone has to play that.
Yeah, we've been doing that a little. We're gonna try and like actually get like a big Mario Kart game going.
Yeah, we got to get a night sorted out for that.
But that was even fun. Like it was what you, me, Kaylee, and
Nate.
I think it was Nate.
Nate or Kurt, one of them.
I don't remember.
But
yeah, getting like a huge group of people together and playing Mario Kart just like sounds fucking awesome. I wish you could talk during the.
Yeah. Are you guys playing Mario Kart at all?
Not me.
I just picked up a copy today.
That's Pelican over here. He's apparently doing it.
Nice. Nice, nice,
and
nice.
And we just picked up the Mario World 3D as well.
It's so good, dude. That's what I'm playing through right now, and it is just so much fun.
We'll have to get you in the Mario Kart Facebook chat group thing that we've got going on.
Yeah, we essentially have like a group of people that like we'll just make a post whenever we're gonna hop on Mario Kart on there and be like, anybody want to play? And then get like a huge group of people together. Yeah.
It's fun. I love it. Good stuff.
Anything you're looking forward to as far as releases? What releases are coming?
Dude, it's fucking July. Nothing is coming out.
Yeah, I don't think there
it's
really
July.
Is.
It's July. Nothing comes out in July. There's like some, what is it, One Piece Battle or whatever.
Oh, the One Piece game.
Yeah, that comes out on Tuesday. Ooh. And then I got Sniper this week. And then I think the next game coming out is at like the end of the month. So
I want that One Piece game, though. It looks fun.
Well, you're talking it's about all this news stuff, and I'm realizing I'm so out of touch with like whatever's brand new and coming out in the game world.
Well, it is summer. I mean, summer's pretty like meh. There was a new quote. I mean, I guess if you want to call it an expansion, but there's a new operation in Counter-Strike. The way that they do their operations is essentially like it's like I think it's $6 or something like that. You unlock all the maps that are in it. So I think it's like 6 or 7 maps, and there's a bunch of skins that you can unlock by playing those maps and getting like. They in they instituted this like mission system. So for like every two matches that you end up playing, you get a mission. If you complete the mission, then it unlocks a skin for you, which is kind of cool. And then, like, you know, there's certain case drops and keys that you can use to open it for all the skin shit, but whatever.
I swear, you're like the only person I know who still talks about Counter-Strike.
Because the new version's really fucking good. Like, it's really good.
I kind of got it for Counter-Strike a long time ago.
dude, like, the new version's, like, fantastic. Like, it's very
And you're still the only person I know who talks about it.
I think it's mainly just because, like, my inner 15, 16-year-old is just like, yeah, man, fucking Counter-Strike.
So Diablo and Counter-Strike.
Diablo and Counter-Strike.
That's all you know anymore.
Yeah, because that's all I knew when I was growing up.
Broaden your horizons, Chris.
No.
Broaden your goddamn horizons.
I only want to play Diablo and
our Counter-Strike. Listener is tired of hearing you talk about the same game every week.
Well.
All right. Diablo, check this out. You're talking Counter-Strike here, and you're starting to trigger me. Counter-Strike is a bit of a rant trigger for me because I fucking hate it, honestly.
I'm ready.
But the reason I can't stand Counter-Strike anymore, and I'm like, I just realized I'm looking at my Steam library, and I haven't really played an FPS since like the Team Fortress Man versus Machine update.
I really liked that update.
It was great. I had a blast with it for a while, and then I kind of finished it. Like I did everything and was like, I'm gonna go play Rock Band now.
Yay, Rock Band. Yeah, I want to play some more Rock Band.
So, the last FPS that I was really honestly into was Natural Selection 2. I played the shit out of that for a while.
I got that, and I still haven't. I got it in like a Humble Bundle or something like that. And,
it's a
good game. I just haven't really, like, I think I've only put maybe like an hour into it.
Well, there's a new game that you could play, so you stop talking about Counter-Strike and Diablo every fucking week.
Dude, I can't do it.
Get me on Steam. Yell at me. I will play the shit out of some Natural Selection too.
Yeah, dude, that sounds like fun. I need to start playing something else.
I can sort of show you the ropes, and like the reason I kind of quit playing FPSs is because I needed more. I needed something more interesting.
You need something more for you, yeah.
Deathmatch for so long.
Yeah.
Like I got done with Deathmatch in like 1998 or so.
See, that's why I'm kind of like interested on the front of like, I still need to finish the DLC for Borderlands. Like, I really love Borderlands because it's like Diablo with guns. So, I mean, like, I should really finish that up. And I'm really excited for that. When is the new one come out?
This fall sometime.
Something like that.
Is it fall? Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
The pre-sequel.
I might play that.
Dude, I'm so amped on that. That whole series is fucking gold to me.
Well, you know, what's his name? Anthony Birch.
Yeah.
He's been to MAGFest a couple times.
Oh, dude. Anthony Burt, when I went to PAX, I actually sat in on one of the panels and he was in on it. And I mean, I've obviously watched the Hey Ash, like, what you playing videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was just weird because I'm like, I'm like, that's the guy from the internet. I know this guy. I've seen his videos. Like, it was the first kind of like internet celebrity, I guess, if you want to consider that I've like seen in person.
Hey, you met me, and I organized Bound Together, so I'm like kind of internet famous.
But I didn't know that you were internet famous when I met you,
dude. All right, let me tangent very quickly for an entertaining anecdote.
I'm ready.
You go, girl.
Last MAGFest, at the end of MAGFest, when it was all over and everybody's going home, I got to talk to Ellen McLean for a bit.
Nice.
What? That's
sat
cool.
down and chatted with her for a little while. And in the middle of this conversation somewhere, and she's really nice. Like, she's amazingly, amazingly super nice. But she plays these, like, psychotic, overbearing, like, I will kill you with my mind characters.
Yeah.
And you can pick up the tiniest bit of that when you're talking to her. So it's a little terrifying because she's like this, like the way she talks, it's like, she's your super nice aunt that is like, oh yeah, dear, are you eating enough? How are you doing? Oh, that kind of thing. But there's something very subtle underneath it that just has this vibe of like, I'm not activating the poison gas right now because I'm enjoying this conversation, but you know, give me 5 minutes. So like, she's really, really cool to talk to. And like at some point in the middle of the conversation, she's like, so how do you feel about snipers? Because I was talking about TF2 and I just like, I kind of froze because I had this moment of like, do I give her the polite answer or do I give her the real answer? And my 1 second freeze was enough. She had this look that was like, yep, I've heard this before. And I was like, yeah, they're terrible people.
So do you have her lined up for 8.5 yet?
Yeah.
No, I think we checked on that and she can't make it for scheduling. There's a couple that can't make. That's actually one of the big failures of 8.5 is Duke Nukem can't make it.
Oh no, John.
Schedule conflict.
Damn.
No. He was a good time. I liked hanging out with him. He was cool.
Her husband is the sniper in TF2.
Yeah.
And apparently she hears this enough. There's so much sniper hate that she just assumes it. She was just like, so do you hate snipers? And I'm like, yeah, they're funny. Terrible people. They're just out for their own score. They don't really help the team. She's like, that's what I've heard.
Well, at least she knows.
Yeah.
I was that guy for the longest time. And I'm like, you know what, man? Like, I'm not really contributing anything. Like, I'm just kind of like sitting here waiting.
That's I very much enjoy that Valve has given us a world in which our friends, when they catch fire, will beg us to throw piss on them.
Please, dude, pee on me.
That's fantastic.
Right, exactly. Like, I don't know.
It's great.
When that first started happening, when the sniper got the piss jar and like people I know were running around, they're like, hey, piss on me. Piss on me. I'm on fire. It's just like, what is going on in my world now?
And that's the things that make gaming interesting.
Yeah.
Because what other industry could you really think of in which a sentence in which, dude, I'm on fire, please piss on me, would be an acceptable sentence? Unless you were like a firefighter and like the hose was broken and like there was a drought.
Yeah.
Firefighter dominatrix?
Maybe. I don't know.
All I know is all this shooter.
The sex worker industry with the safety worker industry.
Oh, by the way, what's your safe word? It's sniper.
Banana. All I know is all this shooter talk has me really wanting to play some Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare right now.
Dude, in that game, man. I want to, like...
It is so good! And they just came out with a new stage and, like, new skins and all this other shit. New update just came out this week, so I gotta get
it. Well,
that's
even with, like... I'm gonna start, like, messing around with PlanetSide a little bit more again, too, because I guess they just added in, like, another continent or something like that that's supposed to be, like, real close quarters kind of thing, so... I'm interested to see what that's like. And then I keep telling myself I'm going to play Battlefield at some point, but yeah, I don't know.
I'm
just never
watched Battlefield and it's depressing.
I
played shit out of 1942, but like just the EA online experience is too frustrating for me. I can't do it. I'm just never touching Battlefield again.
Such poop.
And the surprising thing is EA are the guys behind Garden Warfare, and it's great.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it could be, like, the PC support for them, too, because even, like, the fact that I have Battlefield 4, and to go through the lobbies and to join a game and stuff like that, I have to open a fucking browser?
Well, everyone knows that Battlefield 4 is broken. Everyone knows that.
Really?
So.
Yeah, I know. What I should have did is I should have got, like...
excuse. It's 2014.
Yeah, dude, the game came out last year.
Yeah.
Like
15 years ago when I was playing Quake. Hey, just like I fire it up, I hit the server browser, I click on a server, I'm playing. Done. Why can they not get that shit right?
Real quick, I actually got to jump off and handle a couple of things.
All right.
But this was awesome.
Actually work.
Yeah, actually I have to do some work.
Stuff happens. No, that's fine, dude. That's cool. Yeah, we're probably going to be wrapping this up anyway, so.
Yeah.
Good call.
We're up to almost an hour and a half now, so I guess we could wind this down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Dom, if you want to give us your farewell and whatever you were going to say there.
No, yeah, whatever. No, I was just saying thanks for having me out, and yeah, we'll see you guys pretty soon.
See you guys at 8:45. Yeah.
So.
Huge bug. Apparently, I have to go kill a bug.
Okay.
So,
go bug murdering.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. All right. So before we sign off here, badges sold so far 237. Badges remaining 1,763.
Nice.
It's getting there. It's gonna be, dude. I'm so amped. I'm so fucking amped.
Yeah. You don't even know. I can't wait. Have the hotel booked, have the room pretty much full. We are going to do this.
Oh, it's going to be fun. And, dude, and like I said, if there's a band that ends up coming through and they need a fucking drummer, call me up, man. I'm so down. I'll bring my whole kit and everything.
It's going to be, you know, old school Mark Center MagFest style. So the jam space is just going to end up being a multi-purpose room if you want to, like, play a gig with your band or whatever. Just like sign up for a slot on the schedule.
I don't have a band. That's
yeah,
the
that's
problem.
His problem. He needs a band.
I need a band. I can't find a band. There's nobody I mean, up
that's
my way.
Is, like, if you have about 2 months to put one together and play a show in jam space.
He needs to find any band at all that needs a drummer for MagFest so that he could play.
I
and then
perform.
Shut the fuck up about how he needs to play on
I
stage
need,
at MagFest.
I need to perform at MagFest. Like, that is now added onto my bucket
that's
list.
That's all he said. Every time MagFest comes up, I need to play on stage at MagFest.
I need to. It's not a want. I need to. I absolutely need to.
So, any final words from you, Paul?
No. I think I've babbled quite enough. Well, you know, come to MagFest, give us money.
Indeed. Hope. Who knows? There might still be a handful of tickets left on Friday when this comes out. So
maybe.
I guess we'll see.
It's a possibility.
Music this week, since we do music at the end of every episode. Gonna grab a couple of the tracks off the Shovel Knight soundtrack, or maybe I'll dig through the remix soundtrack. Both of them are available on Vert's Bandcamp page. I think it's vert.bandcamp.com at a name your own price kind of thing.
Yep.
Toss him a few bucks. The music, just like the game, is absolutely fantastic. And Paul, do you want to say a goodbye for us? Something funny, something crazy to stop the episode on?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not great at on the spot comedian action.
All you have to do is like tell one of us to go fuck ourselves or something.
Okay, well, one of you go fuck yourself.
Okay, we're recording again because Paul has a better sign-off, so go. Oh, fuck you.
no sense in Many years ago, the Kingdom of Britannia stood proud, defying the forces of evil guarded by Arthur and his magical sword, Excalibur! Now there are many who would see this great land fall. These stalwart knights will stop them through chivalry, honor, and teamwork. Go, knights, defend the realm!
Oh, brave Sir Lancelot, your power.